All right, good evening.
Good evening.
Tonight is going to be a little different than really anything I've done before. You need a Bible, obviously, and you also need, it will help. You don't have to do this, but it would help if you had a piece of paper and something to write with. So if you need a piece of paper and something to write with, Brother Jonathan will take care of that. And you will not need the paper and writing utensil until a few minutes into the message, and I'll obviously tell you when. But it will help if you have something to write on and something to write with. You'll think you'll benefit the most from the message if you have that. So with your Bible, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 in your New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 Timothy. And let's go to chapter 4. So 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, I was going to read 7 and 8, but let's read 6, 7, and 8. Chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse 6 through verse 8. Everybody ready? Y'all there? Okay, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So just a couple things I'll point out here before we pray. Notice in verse 6 it says, nourished. And the nourishment comes from, do you see what it comes from? Nourished up in the what? Words of faith and of good doctrine. What words would those be? The very perfectly preserved words of God. So I need, you need, we all need God's words to have the proper nourishment. Just like you need the right kind of food to have the right kind of physical nourishment, you need the right, make sure you got the right words in the correct Bible to get the ultimate benefit of spiritual nourishment. Don't you, I know I did, and probably all of you today at lunchtime, you had something in front of you to eat, but it did you no good. It did not nourish you until it was taken in. So right now tonight, we all have God's words in front of us. It will not benefit us unless we all actually take it in, all right? And then notice verse 7, a contrast between profane and old wives' fables. Now, you know where you can find profane and old wives' fables? Everywhere today. CNN, NBC, CBS, Wall Street Journal, Washington Times, I mean, on and on. Isn't that what you get a lot of? Notice the contrast between profane and old wives' fables and godliness. What do you think you need for godliness? We can start right here with the very words of God. And then it says in verse 8, for bodily exercise, interesting word there, exercise, profiteth little. Let me just stop on that for a moment. If you exercise, does it help you? I'm talking about physical exercise. Yes. How much? In your Bible it says little. And why does it only say little? Because there's a contrast. Notice what it contrasts. But godliness is profitable unto what? Okay, so if you had a choice, godliness, bodily exercise, which one's better? Godliness, and then it goes on to say it's going to benefit you now and eternity. It says, promise of life that now is, right here on this earth, and of that which is to come. So tonight we're going to spend some time talking about exercise, but I'm going to actually go and we'll do a little cross-reference here on godliness because they go together here. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for all the folks that are here. Sure, thank you for just a good group this morning, another one this evening. Give you all the praise and the glory for just bringing folks in here. I pray that we would all greatly benefit from the words of Scripture taken in tonight. And I pray that we would all be nourished because we're actively making an effort for your words to get on the inside of us tonight. I just pray that you'd use what goes forth tonight in this message to help us all throughout this week, even here helping us tonight after the service when we leave here. And we ask this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So godliness, first off, what do you think? Now, there's going to have to be some audience participation tonight. You're going to have to help. It will help you, and it will help with the message. So, godliness. Anybody know what that means? What is godliness? Anybody? Okay, to be like God. Somebody said righteousness. What did you say, Brother Phil? Righteousness. Yeah, I think those go hand in hand. So, if you're saved, what is God? What is His ultimate goal for me and you that are saved? To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's Romans chapter 8. So day by day down here on this earth, we ought to be more and more every day like the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know what He was like? Your Bible tells you what He was like so that you know what God expects from you and I. So godliness. I put a couple things here. Devoted to God, living for God. A godly person manifests the character of God. A godly person manifests the character of God, and that is only possible through the Holy Spirit actively working in us from the inside out. That's the only way we can outwardly manifest the character of God. You cannot do this on your own without the Holy Spirit. You try and fall flat on your face every time. In 1 Timothy, I found this interesting. Godliness is mentioned 9 times in this chapter. We're not going to look at all of them, but I want to look at just a couple. Go back to chapter 2. Godliness. Chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2, and it's going to show up there in verse 2, but let's read verses 1 and 2. Godliness. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We can stop on that one for a moment. What if you don't like the people that you're praying for? You're supposed to pray for them anyway. There's not anybody that you shouldn't pray for, right? In fact, the people that maybe you have are at odds with ought to be the people that you pray for the most. You might need to pray for yourself that you'll get right with them. Maybe it's you. We don't ever think about that. It's always them, isn't it? A lot of times it's us. So pray for all people. Verse 2 tells you specifically, for kings and for all that are in what? What if you don't like them? What if you don't like who's in authority? Pray for them anyway. You better in fact, once again, you may need to pray for them even more so. For all that are in authority, that here's the purpose, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we're praying for our leaders so that they will do right, so that we can have a life of a peaceable life and live godly lives. Haven't we been able to do that here in this country for a while? We ought to pray that God will continue to raise up leaders so we can continue to do that. So there's one instance of godliness. Go to chapter 6. I'm just going to show you a couple here. Chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. Godliness. Godliness. How to pray for our leaders so that we can live godly lives. And not, you know, right now we don't have interference. Really not much. Maybe a little here and there. But we can do what God has asked us to do. We can preach. We can teach. We can gather and pray. We can evangelize. And nobody really stops you here in this country, right? That's not the case in a lot of places around the world. So praise God that we have that opportunity. Go to chapter 6, 1 Timothy, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, which is according to what? Godliness, then he is, look at it, it says, he is proud, knowing nothing. Isn't that something? Somebody who discards the wholesome words of God according to the Bible, what do they know? They know nothing. Isn't that something? Go on there. It says, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Goes on there and talks about perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Isn't it interesting how people that reject the Word of God sure love to argue about how the Word of God can't be trusted? Don't they like to do that? And the Word of God nails them on that right there. So godliness shows up there in verse 3. Look what it says in verse 3 again. The doctrine, which is according to godliness. How do you know that you have the right doctrine, which is according to godliness? Where would you find it? In the words of God. You've got to make sure that we understand that. Our doctrine is what we believe, and our belief ought to come right from the Scriptures. And doctrine is going to affect, your belief is going to affect how you behave. You better believe it. So make sure you get the belief right, the doctrine right, so that you behave right. Okay, go over to actually it's down there in the same chapter. Look at, I didn't read all of verse 5, let's read verse 5 and 6. Chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that what? gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. So these would be people that say, the more stuff you have, that must mean that you're blessed of God. There's some phony preachers out there that would preach that, by the way. Just because you have a lot of stuff does not mean you're blessed of God. In fact, you folks know this. You have a lot of stuff, sometimes it's a curse, isn't it? It's more to take care of. So notice it says, gain, supposing that gain is godliness, you want to stay away from them. From such withdraw thyself. And look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I got saved when I was a little boy, and then I got away from the Lord for a while. And I will tell you, I was not content living in the world, after the world. Much more content. The greatest contentment, living for God. Living a godly life brings you contentment. Folks here should know that. I think all of you know that. You've lived it and experienced it. Now, go back to chapter 4. So there's just a few things about godliness, just by way of introduction. And then I'll show you where we're going to go this evening. It says there in verse 8, it says again, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, there's the whole industry that is built around exercise. In fact, during the quarantine, you know who made a lot of money during the quarantine? All the gyms closed. All the fitness centers closed. And online ordering of fitness equipment was through the roof. I tried to order a kettlebell, if you know what, don't know a kettlebell. It looks like a kettle, but it's really heavy. And it's got a handle on it. You can do all kinds of exercises. I tried to find one of those during the quarantine. Nowhere could I find one until I finally got one. I think it was August, late July or early August. Finally got one. For several months, nobody had them online. Could order them. Barbells, dumbbells, jump ropes, all these different exercise equipment used for exercise. People were investing money because they couldn't go to the gym, but they wanted to keep the exercise regimen, right? So the investment of money in exercise equipment is an indication that it must be important. But you all know that if you buy the exercise equipment, you still have to. You got to do the exercise. Now let's talk about exercise for a minute. Exercise is work. And if you want to profit from exercise, you're going to need to do it consistently. So let's say you have not been on an exercise regimen, but you decide tonight I'm going to start. And you go home from church tonight and you start an exercise. You get a little 20-minute little workout in. And then you go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You go a week on that exercise regimen. Did you know that at the end of the week, come back this time next week, you might not really see much gain from the exercise? In fact, you're going to be sore and not want to do it anymore. You might not see the gain after a week. You know why? Something like exercise takes several weeks, on months and on months and on years, to really get the full benefit. People want big muscles overnight these days we live in. You don't get big muscles overnight. You don't get in shape overnight. It doesn't happen. It takes a long time to really get, quote, in shape. So with that in mind, thinking about physical exercise, look what it says there. Again, verse 8. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now notice the contrast with exercise and godliness. So, which is more profitable, bodily exercise or godliness? Godliness. Does bodily exercise take some work? Oh, yeah. To be godly, does that take some work? Yeah. So, here's where we're going with the message tonight, here in the next 15, 20 minutes. I want to talk to you about spiritual exercise. Because I believe you can be godly and gain godliness through the right kind of spiritual exercise. So, here's where we're going to start here. Some spiritual exercises that you all of us should be involved in, okay? I'm going to spend a lot of time on one of these. I'm going to give you a few, and you can write these down, or you don't have to, but I'll give you a few. I'll start off with this one. Number one, spiritual exercise so that you can be godly. Very simple. Take your Bible, open it up, and read it. Read it. Now, that sounds so simple. But it is easier said than done, because the very second, and I know that folks here have experienced this, the very second you open the Bible, you get a couple of verses in, here come 500 distractions. Isn't that right? Sometimes it's the phone ringing, sometimes it's the dog barking, or in our case, the cat's meowing, or you just have things bombarding your mind that you say, oh, I got to take care of that right now. And I'm going to have to stop reading the Bible. You ever been there? That's why reading the Bible is a labor, and it is exercise. It is spiritual exercise. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this one, because this is not the main point here tonight. But I'll say a couple things about reading God's Word. Number one, get a plan to read through the Bible. Get a plan. If you have not read through the Bible before, you don't need to be reading 30 chapters a day. You need to break it down into smaller pieces. So you want to try to get through. If you've never done this before, you want to go Genesis to Revelation. Start with that. And if it's only a little bit at a time to get through in a year, say, you can do it in a year, by the way, in about 10 or 15 minutes a day. That's all it takes. And if you got to start there, start there. If you think you're ready for a little bit more than that, then do that. Now, this is after, I'm telling you this disclaimer, this is after I'd been through the Bible several times already. I got challenged to read through it in a month. The whole Bible, Genesis, Revelation, in a month. And it took up to an hour or more a day to do that. And I broke it up into, took the page numbers I had in the Bible, a number of pages divided by 30, and I read that many pages. And there were some times where I got behind and I had to read even more. A couple days that happened. I'll tell you, that was quite the experience. I think it was highly beneficial. But I would not start there. Don't just say, okay, I'm going to plow through the Bible in a month, all right? Take it slow, but you ought to have a plan to get all the way through the Bible. And when you finish, you're not finished. You got it, Brother Mark. Start over. Now, this is me. This is my personal philosophy on this. You can take it or leave it. I believe, and I've benefited the most from this, start in Genesis, go to Revelation, all the way through to Revelation, and then start over, and then go all the way through. I think that is the greatest benefit because you get the whole picture of what's going on in the Bible. What God did in the beginning, what's going to happen in the end, and everything in between. And by the way, the Bible's not chronological. It's not laid out in exact chronological order. So should I read it in chronological order? If you want to do that, that's nothing wrong with that. But I like reading it in the order that God put it, which is not the chronological order, but it is an order that's very important. We've spent some time on that in the past. So read God's Word. Maybe you want to just read through the New Testament. I challenged the kids at school here just a few weeks ago, and I gave them a plan to get to the New Testament before the end of the year. It was when we had about 100 days left in the year. And I said, you got 100 days, you can get through the whole New Testament in just a few chapters a day. I think it was like 3 chapters a day you can get through the New Testament. So get a plan and do it every day, and you will greatly benefit from that spiritual exercise. All right, so there's number one, read through the Bible. Number two, and this one's often neglected, you need to read and you also need to study the Word of God. And there's a difference. Reading the Bible and studying the Bible are not the same. So maybe you want to take a passage. Maybe it's a handful of verses. You want to really just focus in on that handful of verses and dig into every word, every phrase, and compare Scripture and find out what that's all about. Or maybe you want to take a topic, and I wrote a few down here. Maybe you want to take a topic like the mercy of God or God's love and trace that to the Bible. Or maybe you want to study, like Pastor mentioned this morning, angels. That's an interesting study. Look at all the mentions of angels in your Bible. Or maybe you want to bite off a big piece. Here's a big piece. Study the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lot. But that's a topical study. So you understand there's a difference between reading and studying. Studying, you're taking something and really focusing in on a little piece. Reading, you're trying to get through systematically the entire Bible so you get the big picture, all right? So read and study. Now here's number three. This one we're going to spend time on tonight. This is the one that is tough. Number three, spiritual exercise. You ready? Memorize and meditate on God's Word. Folks, this one's hard. This one takes work. And I know some of you, with the memory verses in the mornings, you're like, here we go. You know why? It's not easy. It takes diligent work to memorize, and then you got to keep it in your memory. You don't want to just forget it. I have the kids at our school. We have the verses every week. I'll assign a verse tomorrow. We had a couple last week, and then we'll quiz over it on Friday. So you know what they do? They wait until Friday before the quiz and start studying. And some of them are really good at memorizing to do well on the quiz. And if I ask them tomorrow, the kids tomorrow that I have, hey, say those verses that you had on Friday, a lot of them couldn't do it. Okay, we don't want that. We want to memorize it and keep it in memory so that we can call it up when we need it. All right? So memorize and meditate on God's Word. So let's go back to Joshua chapter 1 real quick. A couple verses on meditating on God's Word. And I think these two things go hand in hand. Joshua chapter 1, familiar verse. This is the only time. You want to mark this verse. Chapter 1, verse 8 in Joshua. We'll read it. It's the only time in your Bible, the only time in your King James Bible where the word success shows up. So hopefully you came to church on a Sunday night. You want to be successful for God? The verse is going to tell you. Watch it. Verse 8, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. How often? Day and night. How come? Tells you why. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good what? Don't you want to have prosperity and success? That verse tells you how to have prosperity and success in God's eyes. It begins with meditating on God's word, because it tells you in the verse, if you really break that verse down, that's a good verse to study and break apart. If you meditate on God's word, you will be inclined to obey God's word. The word is observe it, which is doing, obeying God's word. Good verse right there. Go over to Psalm 1. Here's another familiar one about meditation. So memorization of the Bible and meditation. And I say those together because the meditation is what's going to help make it stick. Memorizing is just getting it in your mind, maybe in the short term. Meditation is going to make it stick. So make it stay there. So Psalm 1, first three verses. Oh, these are good verses. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in his law doth he do what? Doth he meditate, and there it is again, day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Don't you want to be firmly planted in the Word of God? Don't you want to bear fruit? Don't you want to be a fruit-bearing Christian? It tells you how to do that in verse 3 right there. Meditate in the Word of God. So here's where the pencil and paper come in. How do we go about memorizing and meditate in the Word of God? This is where we're going to do a little exercise. Real? You didn't know you were going to exercise. Did you bring your exercise workout equipment and your workout clothes? You didn't have to change. You're fine. All you need tonight is just a pencil and a paper and your Bible. So we're going to do a little exercise. And I think this will be very helpful if you follow along. Go over to the book of Acts, chapter 5. And the verse that we're going to exercise with is the last verse in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. So I'm going to start off. We're going to begin this little exercise session of learning how to memorize and meditate on the Word of God. We're going to start off by taking a verse and just simply reading it. So I'm going to read it, and then we're going to all read it together after I read it. I'll read it myself, and then we'll all read it together. So Acts 5, verse 42. This is about the apostles and all that they are doing in the book of Acts. So Acts 5, 42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So will you say it with me here? I'll say the reference, and then we'll say the verse together, okay? Acts 5, 42, here we go. "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Very important. You want to take a verse and memorize it and meditate on it. Read it out loud to start with. Just start right there. Read it out loud. Okay, so the next thing you want to do is you want to take your pencil and your paper and you want to write it and you want to say it while you're writing it. Okay, so let's do that. You ready? You ready? Now, you don't have to keep up with me. You can say it to yourself here. And I don't think I have a piece of paper up here. I got to get my own paper. Here we go. Got it. All right, so here we go. Acts 5:42. I'm going to write the reference. You can write Acts 5:42. And I picked a short verse here tonight so we don't take a long time on this. But I'm going to say it, and you can say it on your own here as we write it. Let's write it together. "And daily in the temple." Now, when you get to the comma, go to the next. It's almost like you hit the return button, okay? So when you get to the comma, go down to the next underneath. All right? "And in every house." Comma. So hit the return. Go to the next line. "They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Make sure you put the period at the end there. So we've got this broken down into three lines. Did you do that? Able to fit that on the line there? Unless you write really big, maybe you couldn't. but three sections. So the first section, and daily in the temple, section number one. Section number two, and in every house. And then section number three, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There's something about, you can go back, I didn't read the verses here, but Deuteronomy 6, it talks about how important God's words were to be to those Israelites. And one thing they were supposed to do is write them. You can go back to Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. It's really neat. So read it and then write it as you say it at the same time. There's something about that. Connection between the hand and the brain. And over there in Deuteronomy 6, it says there's a connection between the hand and the eye, which you have to look at it so that you can see it, so that you can read it and write it. Very interesting right there. So step number one, write it and say it while you're writing it. So you should have it written down. Everybody good? Got it written down? Now, here's what we're going to do next. We're going to memorize this verse. We'll get to the meditation part here in a minute. Let's say it together three times. We'll say it out loud, but here's what I want you to do this time. I'm going to slow down the pace a little, and I want you to think about what the verse says. Think about what the verse says. And by the way, that's all meditation is. Everybody in here has meditated today. Did you know that? Haven't you thought today? Everybody has thought, and there's sometimes during the day, if you back it up, you were thinking about something. Maybe it's something that you're anticipating tomorrow, and you thought about it for maybe 20, 30 minutes, maybe less, but you thought on something for probably an extended period of time today. Okay. I'm going to slow down the pace, and we're going to say it together. Ready? Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, just look at it there for a moment and think about what we just said, and then we're going to do it again. All right? Ready? Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Wheels ought to be turning now. This is what the apostles did. Are you thinking about this? All right. How about you think also about they did it. Should we be doing it? Should we be doing the same thing? There's a lot of action in this verse. All right, let's read it again. Ready? Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Okay, now, step number three. So we wrote it and said it. We repeated it, thinking about what we're saying. Step number three, take your paper and fold it so you can't see what you wrote. Fold it. Ready? Step number three. I'm telling you, this works. I've tried this. Miss Katie, I think, has tried this, what we're about to do here. It works. It's really neat. You ready? Next thing you want to do is we're going to take the first letter of each word and write only the first letter. So, and I'm going to write a capital A. That's it. Daily, I'm going to write a D. That's it, the first letter. In, I, the, T, temple, T. And I'm going to do my comma and go to the next line. And then I've got an A for an I for in, an E for every, and then an H for house, another comma, next line. A T for they, a C for ceased, an N for not, a T for two, another T for teach, an A for and, a P for preach, and J for Jesus, and C for Christ, period. Okay, now, that's where it gets a little bit harder. You ready? Now, using only the first letter of each word, don't cheat. Don't look at your Bible and don't look at the side you folded over. Let's see if we can say it just looking at the first letter. Ready? Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. How'd you do? Not bad, huh? It's a short verse. Amen. It's not that hard. All right, let's try it again. Just looking at the first letter. And again, the reason why we're doing this, you're getting some help, but you're not getting all the help. So you're still having to do some recall, but you're getting a little bit of a clue. So ready? Acts 5:42, look at the first letter. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Very good. Okay, you could do that a few times if you wanted. We'll just stop at two. Now, we're trying to build here. Isn't this how exercise goes? It starts easy with warm-up. And then it gets harder. So you ready? Put that away. And don't look in your Bible. And see if you can say the verse. Try it. If you can't do it, that's okay. Ready? So don't cheat. Look up. Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You did it. Yes. You memorized the verse tonight. Amen. No, amen. Really. I mean that. That's a good verse. Now, let's not stop there. So many people just, I got the verse. I'm good. Don't stop there. Now we're going to really dig in. You ready? This is the fun part. Let's meditate on this. Now, don't get creeped out. This is biblical meditation. Worldly meditation, you should be getting creeped out. That's not something you want to do. All we're going to do is break down the verse here into three sections like we already did. And I want to get some feedback from you about things coming to your mind from the Bible based on the little phrase we take. You ready? So the first phrase, and you can cheat now. You can look at it again. In fact, it'd probably be good if you did. Look in your Bible or look at what you wrote down. You can look at the words. Let's just take that first phrase. I'm going to say it. And while I say it, I want you to think about those words that I'm saying and where you might find those same words elsewhere in the Bible. There's a couple of key words in this first little phrase. And daily in the temple. Let's take that word daily. Come on now. What comes to mind? Daily. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I think that's Matthew 11. How about this one? Matthew 6:11 actually. Give us this day our daily bread. How about this one? This one's Luke 19. And he, speaking of Jesus, taught daily, guess where? In the temple. Jesus Christ did that. Apostles did the same thing. All right, what do Israelites do daily in the wilderness? What do they do every day, except for the seventh day of the week? They gathered twice as much on the sixth day. What do they do 6 out of 7 days a week, though? Gathered manna for their own nourishment. Okay, anything else coming to mind? Daily. I stole all the good ones, so maybe something else, though. Maybe some other ones. Today is the day of salvation. Yeah. It's a good thing to connect. What else we got? Thinking about daily or days. Anything else? Anything else? Anybody? Every day. What a great reminder that is of the S-O-N, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. She said the sun comes up daily and goes down daily. Great picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. That's a good one. All right? So you're just thinking about that word. Now, how about the temple? Daily in the temple. What comes to mind when we read the temple? What comes to mind? Help me out here. What verses or things in your Bible come to mind when we talk about the temple? What comes to mind? Help me out. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 6. Yes, very good. What else? Bring what now? They brought their best to the temple when they offered sacrifice. They couldn't bring animals that had blemishes or bruises. Yeah, very good. The best goes to the temple. Yes, ma'am. He sure did. He said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. Very good. That's over in John. Anything else? What was the temple in the Old Testament? It was the very place where they went to do what? Worship. What's going on in Acts 5:42? The worship is taking place daily. They're going daily to the temple, the place of worship. Are you only supposed to worship when you come to church? You should be worshiping God every day, at home or here. And if your body's the temple goes everywhere you go. So daily, you can actually worship God in the temple. See how this all goes together? All right. Anything else come to mind? Just that little phrase. See, all we're doing is thinking about it and thinking about where else in the Bible these key words might be mentioned that jog our memory. See, this is why memorizing and reading your Bible, studying your Bible, it really helps with putting pieces in your Bible together. Anything else before we go to the next phrase? You guys did really well. Yes. Oh, and that's the early stages of the church in Acts 2. The Lord added to the church daily. People were getting saved daily. That's really neat, yeah. Okay, anything else before we go on? Let's go to the next phrase here. And in every house. Key word in that little phrase there, I would say, is house. House. What comes to mind here? As for me and my house, we will what? Joshua 24. And in every house. They're worshiping and should be serving God in the house, right? And in every house. What else? House. Come on now. Yes, sir. Jonathan. The wise man built his house upon the rock. See, you're connecting Scripture with Scripture. This is the way you learn the Bible. Put the pieces together. All right, what else? House. Every house. Anything else? House. Amen. Not a den of thieves. A house of prayer. Yeah, very good. What else? We often refer to the church as the Lord's house. If your body's the temple, your body is the Lord's house. Yeah, see how that goes together? Anything else? In my Father's house are many mansions. Yeah, very good. John 14. Excellent. Yes, sir. They sure did. Came to the house over there in the early Matthew and Luke, the gospel accounts of Jesus as a little boy. Yeah, very good. Did you know in the early days of the New Testament church, guess where church was? Paul mentions this. Romans 16:5, 1 Corinthians 16:19, Colossians 4:15. He mentions churches being in people's houses. So there's something to that. Why would they go to every house? Because they were actually having churches in people's houses. Okay, let's get to the last part here. And I'll pick out a couple key words here. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Okay, how about that word cease? What comes to mind? Cease. Pray without ceasing. Yeah, very good. What else? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause, thank we God without ceasing. You should be always thanking God, right? You should always pray. You should always be thanking God for things. What else? Cease. Cease. Anything else? Anything come to mind? Yeah. So not ceasing, but continuing on. Yeah, good. Good connection there. Colossians 1, he says, Paul says, we do not cease to pray for you, which goes along with pray without ceasing. Ephesians 1, he says, we cease not to give thanks for you. So those things go hand in hand. Now, where do we start? Daily in the temple. Shouldn't we be daily praying, daily worshiping the Lord, daily thanking God? All right, see how all these things go together? Now, the last part of this is really powerful. The last part of the verse says, cease not to do what? Teach and preach Jesus Christ. What did you come to church and hear today? It's teaching and preaching on who's the most important person we can teach and preach on? The Lord Jesus Christ, all right? They did not cease to teach Jesus Christ and preach Jesus Christ. Here in the book of Acts, folks, the New Testament church today, you know what we've stopped doing? I say us, the church as a whole, hopefully not us, but the church as a whole, what did they stop doing? Teaching, preaching Jesus Christ. You know what they started doing instead? Entertaining people. Oh, we could get all up onto that, couldn't we? But folks, that verse, you memorized it, hopefully, you got that now. And we just did a little thinking on some of the key words there. Does that verse have a little bit more meaning than it did when we first read it? I hope it does. And I only took a few minutes. We can take a long time on this thing and really dig in. But hopefully you see how it's not that hard to memorize. And then if you just break it down and meditate, it did take a little time. And it takes some thought, which takes some work, which takes some energy. You're lying if you don't say you have some time and energy to give to meditation and memorization. Come on now. We just want to do other things, don't we? I go back to the verses. I won't read them again. But Psalm 1, prosper. Joshua 1, prosperity and success, all based in meditating on God's Word. Don't you want that? I want that for me. I want that for you. But you got to do it for you. I can't do it for you. I can only do it for me. I'll tell you what we can do. We can encourage one another to do this, though. Certainly can. There's a thing on the internet I found several years ago. And, man, I started a challenge, but, man, it has been tough. 5-year plan to memorize the New Testament. They got it all broken down. So it's many years ago. This is going back more than 10 years ago now, I'm ashamed to say. I started that plan. I'm almost through all that they would say for year one. It's hard. Man, it's tough. I actually kind of skipped around on there, so maybe I got a little bit more than what they would have for 1 year, but it takes a lot of work to do that. So now my goal is, before I die, I want to memorize the New Testament. So, Lord willing, I'll get some more years, unless the Lord comes back, that'd be better, but get a few more years to do that, because it's going to take a while. It's going to take me quite some time to do that. But hey, look at the value of that. You put pieces together in your Bible when you spend time laboring in memorizing and meditating on it. I think that's what's missing in a lot of places today. We like to hear people preach. We like to hear people teach. But the individual in the pew, and even in many cases the teacher or the preacher, does not individually take the time to meditate on God's Word. Now see, it wasn't anything creepy, was it? We actually did it together. And you could actually get a partner to do this with. You could sit through this. You could bounce stuff off each other when you're going through a verse or maybe a passage. But this is something we all need. And if there's prosperity and success promised with it, then why would we all do it? You know, if we had the news tonight, we got the news that if you just go down to Cumberland Farms and they're giving out $100 bills, we'd all be down there just like that. We'd be running over each other to get out the door to get down there. What God is showing us here is way better than $100 bills. Godly success, godly prosperity, which is going to be, we're going to be godly, become godly because of spending time in the Word of God. What greater value? So I don't know how much time we got left here on this earth. We might have a long time, might have a short time. Hopefully a short time, right? But how about we take the time, not just to read, although we need to read, not just to study, but we need to study, but digging in here and memorizing and meditating on the Scriptures. It doesn't matter how old you are. See, sometimes you get a little older and you say, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's so hard. You can memorize song lyrics. You can memorize, used to be memorize people's phone numbers. You don't have to do that anymore, do you? If you've got a smartphone. There's all, you know your zip code, you know your address. There's all kinds of personal information you got ingrained in your mind. You know why? You had to say it a lot or you had to write it a lot. You're never going to forget your address, are you? I can tell you my address from many years ago. You know why? I had to write the thing many times. 125B South Kings Highway, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Come on. I had to write that thing over and over again, and I don't even live there. I haven't lived there in years. So you can do it. It's just going to take some work and take some time. Now, here's a challenge. Get with the Lord and ask the Lord to help you get a plan together to do some memorization of the Scriptures. If you don't know where to start, how about Ephesians 6? Isn't that where we are right now? We all need that armor. We all need it in November, which is next Sunday. You got a new section we're starting there. So it's verse 14. And you can get through there. And by the end of November, if you'll do the work, you could say 10 through 18. You could. You say, oh, I don't know if I can do that. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some work. With the Lord's help, you can do it. Carve out some time every day to work on that. Every day. So you don't forget it. So, hey, challenge here. Ask the Lord to help you get a plan together to memorize and meditate and then put it into action. It will. We got the promises in here in the Bible. It'll benefit you. So I challenge you to get with the Lord and get a plan together on that. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just the value, the great, incredible words we read here tonight and meditated on. And Lord, I just think what a blessing to be around folks that are interested in this. Just a great thing. I pray that you just put on the heart of every one of us here this evening a plan to do some memory and some meditating on your words. We know that you want your words to be in us so that they can come out of us. And I pray that you just challenge folks here this evening to get with a plan to do this so that we can experience the success in your eyes and the prosperity in your eyes. The world's going to think we're crazy, but we know you're going to be very pleased with this. And I just pray that you'd really challenge all of us here this evening to get something together with a plan on this. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.